السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه ومن والاه. أما بعد, my talk today is going to center around what men need to know about women and what women need to know about men. And much can be said about this topic, but of course time is limited. So inshallah ta'ala, really I'll concentrate on what many modern psychologists have really said is the primary need that men have from women and the primary need that women have from men. And before I begin, I'd like to point out that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has referenced the fact that men and women are not the same. Allah says in the Quran, وَلَيْسَ ذَكَرُكَ الْأُنْثَى, the man is not like the woman. And our Prophet ﷺ said, إِنَّمَا النِّسَاءُ شَقَائِقُ الرِّجَالِ, that women are the twin halves of men. They're complementary to men. They're not the same as men. And throughout the 60s and 70s, there was a movement that we all know now as the feminist movement. And this movement tried to portray men and women as being equal. Physiologically, psychologically, emotionally, they're all equal. But it failed miserably. And nowadays, a modern wave of feminism, a modern wave of research, is trying to go back and reclaim that damage, rethink through many of the issues that they had thought to change in the 60s and 70s. You cannot change the basic nature of men and women the way that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created them. And our Quran and Sunnah is full of the fact that men and women have different roles in society. It's not a matter of comparing the two. You do not compare apples and oranges. It's a matter that Allah created the man and He gave the man a role that is conducive for the man. And Allah created the woman and He gave a role that is conducive for the woman. And when the man acts like a man and the woman acts like a woman, family flourishes, society flourishes, children flourishes, and therefore the ummah will flourish. But when the man tries to become a woman, or the woman tries to become a man, they will never be able to change their fundamental nature. And so the man will fail, the woman will fail, the family will fail, society will fail, and the ummah will fail. So our religion is very simple and straightforward. وَلَيْسَ ذَكَرُكَ الْأُنْثَى, the man is not like the woman. So what is it that a man wants from his wife? What is the primary emotion that he wants from his wife? Well, the primary emotion, according to modern psychologists, I'll bring in the Quran and Sunnah later, the primary emotion that men want from their wives is that of respect. That of respect. When a wife respects her husband, when a wife shows respect to her husband, the husband reciprocates that respect by giving the woman her primary need. And what is the need that the woman has? What is the primary need that a woman wants from her husband? What's the primary emotion? That is the continual love and the continual enveloping of that attention, that the husband always makes his wife his priority. The husband always shows his wife that I'm thinking about you, I'm caring about you, i.e. I will always love you. So what does the man want? Respect. When he gets respect, what does he do? He gives what the wife wants. What does the wife want? To feel loved, to feel cherished, to feel always thought about, taken care of, that the priorities of the husband are the feelings of the wife. And when the husband is shown respect, he will reciprocate by giving his wife that love. And when the wife is loved, she will reciprocate by giving the husband the respect that he deserves. So I want to talk a little bit about these two emotions. What does it mean, respect and love? These are empty words until we translate them into realities. And by the way, I can bring in the Quran and Sunnah to demonstrate this reality. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, الرِّجَالُ قَوَّامُونَ عَلَى النِّسَاءِ, that men are qawwam over women. And qawwam means to be in charge of. This is the literal meaning of the Quran. Qawwam means the one who will take care of the other. Qawwam means the one who will be the one in charge. So what is the one in charge? The one who is shown respect. And we have that famous hadith, and no doubt this hadith is misused and abused, and we have to point this out as well. But it is the famous hadith that when once Mu'adh ibn Jabal came back from Syria, and he entered the masjid of the Prophet ﷺ, and he fell down in sajda in front of the Prophet ﷺ. And the Prophet ﷺ said to him, Ya Mu'adh, what are you doing? Who told you to prostrate to me? Why are you doing this? So Mu'adh ibn Jabal said, I returned from Syria. I found the people prostrating to their rabbis and their elders out of respect. And I felt you deserve this respect more than those priests and those rabbis. What did our Prophet say? It's a famous hadith. I should say it's an infamous hadith. All of you have heard of it. But I want to be clear here. It's not my job to apologize on behalf of what the Prophet said. It's not my job to cover up his teachings. It is my job to teach those teachings, whether a person likes them or not. If I didn't do that, I would not be worthy of standing where I'm standing. What did the Prophet say? Verily, Allah has forbidden any human to prostrate to another human. Hadith is in Bukhari and Muslim, Abu Dawud and Tirmidhi. It's clearly authentic. Verily, Allah has forbidden any human to prostrate to another human. But if he were to have allowed this, if a concession were to have been made, there is no concession. If a concession were to have been made, I would have told the wife to prostrate to her husband out of what the respect and duty she owes to him. Now, what is this prostration? It is the prostration of respect. The prostration of respect. And what does this show? That the wife gives respect to the husband. And what will the husband give back? The husband will give back that love, that cherishing, that nurturing that the wife craves. So the question is, what does it mean for the wife to respect the husband? And what does it mean for the husband to show love to his wife? And by the way, much of what I'm going to say, it actually comes from a very interesting book that I recommend all of you to read. It was written by a self-proclaimed ex-feminist. She went through, I think, 3 marriages. I forgot now exactly how many. She married, divorced, and she said something must be wrong. Something's not working. She thought she's a nice girl, she's a nice woman. Why aren't my marriages working? So she decided to leave her feminism and to accept a different philosophy of life. And she wrote a book about this, and I encourage you to read this book. It is called The Surrendered Wife by Laura Doyle. The Surrendered Wife. It's on the Amazon bestsellers list, you'll find it. And she herself said, I used to be a feminist, but then I changed my attitude, changed my perspective, and I have never been happier in my life. And her husband is loving her. Her husband it's a great marriage. They're a great couple together. She's been married for more than a decade, and she decided to write about her own experiences, and she called it The Surrendered Wife. Now, and most of my material is taken from this book. What does she say? She says that when the wife shows that respect to her husband, when she trusts her husband, when she shows that husband that I know you'll take care of me, I know you'll do your job, guess what? Amazingly, he actually does do his job. When she lets go of power and control, when she stops trying to be the boss and domineering, double guess, second guess every single statement he says, try to be maneuvering, manipulative, when she simply trusts him and allows him to be who he is, and that is her husband, what happens? He begins showing her the compassion, the romance, the love, the admiration that she herself craves. When he becomes a man, he will treat her like a woman. And when she treats him like a woman, he will also become a man. And so Allah Azza wa Jal has laid this out very clearly in the Quran. So what does it mean to show him respect? A few very specific points. Number one, respect his knowledge and his judgment. Wives, respect your husband's knowledge and judgment. When your husband makes a decision, don't double guess him. Don't doubt him. Don't try to make him feel he's not intelligent, he's not qualified to do what he's doing. In other words, don't treat him like a child. Classic example, happens all the time. Husband is driving and the wife thinks that this is the wrong way. The wife says, no, you should exit here. You just missed the highway exit. This is where you're supposed to exit from, right? What has just happened here? The husband becomes irritated. I know where I'm going. Don't worry. I know it's right ahead, right? What's happened here? Well, the wife has doubted her husband's sense of power, sense of being in charge, sense of responsibility. And what happens here when a husband is challenged, he becomes, what's he going to become when he's challenged? Argumentative. He becomes, immediately he'll retort back, what do you know? You did this, you did that. Now, if he turns out to be wrong and you were right, this leads me to point two. Suppose you were right, that was the exit. Well then, this leads me to point two. let the husband make his mistakes and learn from his own mistakes. Because when he makes a mistake, he won't be able to get angry at anybody else. But when you make a mistake and you tell your husband to make that mistake, you're never going to hear the end of it, and you all know what I'm talking about. Let the husband make his mistake and let him learn from his mistake. And don't become his mother. Believe me, no man wants to marry a motherly figure. He has his mother, alhamdulillah, for that. He doesn't want his wife to start lecturing him, to start daunting him, like only his mother is allowed to daunt him. Right? Mothers have privileges they don't extend to their daughter-in-laws. So, suppose he did take that wrong turn. Suppose he missed the exit. Guess what? He's never going to miss that exit ever again. He's learned from his mistake. And the fact that you didn't put it in his mind, you were just quiet, you let him do his decision, khalas, no big deal. Next time it's not going to happen. So what if you arrive at the party 5 minutes late? I mean, we all arrive 20, 30 minutes late. It's part of being Desi and Muslim. What's the big deal? That's not going to be the end of the world. The third point about showing respect. Trust his capability in taking on the projects that he wants to take on. Don't be sarcastic or diminishing of any project he feels that he wants to do. So for example, there's a leaky faucet and your husband comes in with the toolbars, the plumbing, the wrench and everything, and you're like, you're gonna fix the leaky faucet? What have you just done? You've taken his ego, and you didn't just take a pin and perk. You took a knife and you thrust it in his heart. Like literally, the husband will say, if I can't even take care of a leaky faucet, you don't think I'm capable of this, what do you think I'm capable of? What you've done is, and I'm going to be very frank here, and I speak as a man. Men, I'm sorry and I apologize for giving the secret away, but I have to for our own marriages. Men, I know this is going to come as a shock to you, sisters. Men have big egos. I know it's going to come as a shock to you. Their egos, mashallah, tabarakallah. So, if you do anything to diminish that ego, you have hurt male pride. You have hurt male pride. So, you let the man foster his ego. Let him, if you think he's self-deluded, let him be self-deluded. He'll love you back in return. And in the end of the day, that's what you want, doesn't it, right? You want to be loved and cherished and admired. Let him make a mistake. And I will tell you another thing, sisters. Frankly, if your husband does take on a challenge, you will be surprised when 9 times out of 10, he'll actually finish it in a decent manner. This is the fact of the matter. When men make mistakes, they'll go back and do it again, and do it again, and do it again, until they get it right. Allah created us that way. Allah created us that way. For you to hover over him and always pinpoint him or find a fault or diminish his ego, honestly, this is very problematic. And frankly, it's humiliating and painful for the delicate male ego. The man feels he's the protector. If you will challenge him and say, how can you protect me from a leaky faucet? Then you have basically said, I don't trust your judgment. You have basically said, I don't feel you're qualified to take on protecting me and taking care of the household. The bottom line, let him take on his challenges. Suppose he wants to write a book. Suppose he wants to do a project. Let him do it. Let him find out his own way. Maybe he's not the best plumber. Fine. But when you diminish his ego, this will cause problems in his heart for you. He's not going to love you the way you want him to love you. You need to allow him the impression of being the nourisher, the provider, the qawwam. He's the one who will protect you. So you take refuge in him. You seek shelter in him. Yes, honey, you will fix the leaky faucet. And guess what? Inshallah, he will actually end up fixing the leaky faucet. Also, when you must bring up something negative, and sometimes you have to, I'm not saying you always be quiet and never point out a mistake or something. When you must bring up something negative, choose your wording and the tone of your voice with great caution. One of the main reasons that men complain about the nagging of their wives, always the wives are nagging, right? Is because they feel a woman's nagging is equivalent to disrespecting. A man feels that the wife who always reminds me, again back to the leaky faucet, right? Honey, you haven't fixed the faucet yet. Can you fix the faucet? It's been a week, it's been 2 weeks. When are you gonna fix the faucet? When you keep on putting it this way, what's happening? The man will feel now a hatred to fix the faucet. She's bothering me so much. It's not going to bring about a positive change. Rather, you allow him the opportunity in a positive tone. So for example, now by the way, the reason why the man is not fixing the faucet is because he has other priorities. He has a deadline at work and he knows that deadline is more important than the leaky faucet. He has other issues, his own priorities, right? You don't have those priorities, he does. So what you do is you remind him in a gentle manner. Honey, I know I've reminded you last week of the faucet. I know you have other things to do. Whenever you get a chance, inshallah, can you take care of that? It's just a tone. It's just a positive attitude rather than being negative. Not to be sarcastic, but rather to be somewhat positive. And if you must complain, never use the phrase you. Rather use the phrase I. Let me give you an example. Your husband comes home late and he didn't call you. He didn't call you, he's late from work. Then you get angry at him. You never call me when you're late. You should always call me. What have you just done? Daunted him, right? Mothers and fathers can say that to their children. Beta, you must call before you're late. Yes, that's fine. But for the wife to do this, honestly, it's not going to bring about the love. You know what? I will teach you that phrase. When you say it, wallahi, every time he's late, he will call you. What is that phrase? Honey, you didn't call me and you were late and I was worried for you. Instantaneously, I got worried. I didn't know where are you. I didn't know what to... This instantaneously, you will give him such a big guilt trip, he'll go to the moon and come back for you. It's just a matter of phrasing it so that you make him feel like a man. You were supposed to take care of me and you didn't because you made me feel worried for your safety. That's all you did. Rather than treat him like a child, rebuke him, you become the wife. And you say, I got worried, you were late. I was waiting for your call, right? When you put it on yourself, and this applies to any situation by the way. Suppose the husband was a bit harsh in something that he said. Rather than saying, you always say that, you should say, I felt hurt when you used this phrase. Change it back on you. And when you say, I felt hurt, automatically the husband will feel, man, I was too harsh, I shouldn't have done that. He will feel guilty, and that's what you want your husband to feel when he is a bit harsh at you. You want him to feel guilty. When you rebuke him, he's not going to feel guilty. And you all know this from experience, right? You want him to feel like a man, be a woman, and he'll feel like a man. Act as a woman, act in a feminine manner, and he will come and be your savior and your knight in shining armor. But you have to be the damsel in distress to get that knight in shining armor. Until you're the damsel in distress, that knight in shining armor is never going to appear. And the final point for the sisters, and we'll move to the brothers. Don't worry, brothers, your time will come. Don't worry, right? I know the sisters are feeling very awkward that I'm always telling them, but it's now their turn. Don't worry. The final point for the sisters. Never, ever, in any circumstance, crack a joke about your husband's honor or capabilities in public. Never do this. It's always going to be very detrimental. The husband never wants to be made fun of by his wife. And that is not going to bring about anything positive in the husband. Sisters, let me ask you, would you like it if your husband teased the way you looked in public? If your husband talked about the few pounds you've gained over the summer in Ramadan in public? How would you like it? Well, male egos are even more fragile, as I said. So if you ridicule something they attempted, if you ridicule the project that they did in public, you are really hurting his ego. Rather do the opposite, praise him. Next time you're at your in-laws, you have his parents there, praise him. And praise him to the face of his parents and his relatives. MashaAllah, he takes such good care of me. MashaAllah, he's a loving person. Suppose he washed the dishes once last year, just once. You say, MashaAllah, tabarakAllah, he washed the dishes. Believe me, the next day he's gonna wash the dishes for you. It's a matter of positive encouragement. Positive encouragement. You be that damsel, he will become your prince and your knight in shining armor, right? Now it's time for the brothers. Brothers ready, taking notes? You ready? Sisters, you can relax now. Okay, We said, what do the sisters want the most? What do the sisters want the most? Who can tell me? To feel loved. To feel that love. To feel cherishment. They need to be constantly reassured that their husbands love them. That their husbands always take them as number one. Always. If women could get away with it, they want to be put on the pedestal and the husband just looks at them all day and night, and that would be great for them, right? They want to be number one in their husband's lives. So they want constant reassurance that the husband always loves them. Now, brothers, listen to this. Wives, do not take your love for granted. You take your wife's loves for granted. You don't need your wife to constantly reassure you that you love me, you love me. No, you take it for granted. The fact that she's still living with you shows you she loves you. Well, it doesn't work the other way around. It does not work the other way around. A woman is always double guessing. Does he still love me? Does he still think about me? Does he still care about me? Does he still put me number one? And therefore, a woman has to have constant reassurance. And not only this, but another issue that men need to be sensitive to and understand. Women are very conscious of their looks, and they're comparing their looks with other women all the time. We guys don't do that. We don't care about other looks of men, and we don't compare ourselves. But women are always thinking, am I still beautiful enough for him? Does he still think me attractive? Maybe I've gained a few pounds. Maybe after the third kid, this and that. She's always double guessing her looks, her figure. And so the husband always has to make her feel the most beautiful, the most cherished, the most loved, the most admired. Though she always wants these reassurances. How does he do this? Many ways, and again, time is limited. I'll just point out a number of them. Number one, words, words, words. Never underestimate the power of speech. Simply saying, I love you. I know it's awkward for men after the courting phrase. I know it's awkward, right? But believe me, it never goes out of fashion. For women, it never goes out of fashion. They always love to hear this phrase. And in fact, there are da'if hadith of our Prophet. It's a bit da'if hadith, but it's still mentioned in our books that our Prophet and Aisha were joking once. And Aisha said to the Prophet, كَيْفَ حُبُّكَ لِي? How much do you love me? How is your love for me? And our Prophet said, and he gave a beautiful, metaphorical, poetic expression. He said, my love for you is like the tight knot that cannot be unbound. My love for you is like the tight knot that cannot be unbound. So then in the future, sometimes if they would have a bit of an issue, a bit of an argument, one of the two would remark, how is the knot right now? How is the knot right now? And Aisha would say this when the Prophet sometimes got irritated. How is the knot? So he would smile, he would say, as strong as it ever was. Right? And this hadith is in Dharqutni. Now the point being that the words, I love you, are something very important, but not just I love you, praising her and what she does. Husbands, never take your wife's actions for granted. Suppose she is cooking and cleaning most of the time. Not that I'm suggesting that should be done. Work should always be 50-50. Wives cook and husbands eat. No, don't give me. Work should always be 50-50. Don't misquote me there. But I'm just saying, suppose she cooks and suppose she cleans, right? Never take it for granted. Always, once in a while, come and compliment her. MashaAllah, that was great. You know, I really appreciate what you're doing for me. Those words, they go a long way. Your wife realizes, you know what? He's not taking me for granted. Very important. Praise her looks when she dresses up, when she does something extra special for you. Never take it for granted. Husbands, you all know the big danger of forgetting anniversaries, right? You all know how dangerous that is. Why do women want you to know their anniversaries? Because it makes them feel you still love them. Makes them feel he still remembers me, he still cherishes me. And celebrating anniversaries, honestly, I believe there are some scholars, they say it's haram bid'ah. SubhanAllah, quote me, celebrating anniversaries is mustahab. It is encouraged in our religion. What greater thing to do than for the husband to tell his wife over and over again that I love you, I'll do it all over again. Take them out for a romantic dinner. Be romantic with your wife. What better way of showing that love? There's nothing wrong at all to show that love on your anniversary days. This is something that the Sharia encourages the husband and wife to have that lovely bond together. Another thing that the woman wants is time. And time, this is now a difference in language. For husbands, time means the watch on your hand. So when the wife says, you never spend time with me, immediately he goes into calculation mode. I sleep 8 hours in the day, I have breakfast 1 hour, I come home, that's 10 hours with you. How can you say I never have time for you? Right? Because he's thinking of time in the dictionary definition of time. That's the clock. No, 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 no. Women have a different dictionary. Women have a different vocabulary. For women, time means attention. Undivided quality attention. So, you're working 5 days of the week. You have that Saturday night free, and you want to go and you want to watch a television match. You want to watch a cricket game. You want to go and play some basketball. You want to do this and that. That is quality time. And you have just shown your wife, when you have quality time, you don't want to spend it with her. So what does that mean? You never go out with the guys? No, of course you have to go out with the guys. But understand, when she's asking for time, she wants quality time. And this also when she comes to you to help, to come for advice. She wants some issue to solve. One of the biggest problems that men have is they think as if the woman is coming to him to solve her problem. So immediately he'll say, oh, you did this wrong, you did that wrong, you should do this, you should do that. And that is not what the woman wants. What does the woman want? The woman wants a loving ear, a sympathetic ear. She wants somebody to listen to her problem, to be sympathetic to her, not necessarily to solve her problem. This is quality time. To express that whatever she went through was frustrating, was problematic, and inshallah, they will work it out. And of course, much more can be said, but again, time is of the essence. The bottom line, brothers and sisters, the bottom line, marriage is something that both sides have to give and take. Men have to give or else the women will take. No, again. Both sides have to give and take. You have to give what the woman wants, and in return, she will give what you want. When the man gives love, when the man gives that, what we call romance, and romance is nothing. Men think romance is a very dangerous word. They never want to use it, right? All romance means is you show her you're thinking about her. You show her you're caring about her. Husbands, the phrase, I love you, giving roses, remembering the anniversaries, taking them out, spending quality time. This is what romance is. When you give the wife the love, you make her feel like she's number one. Guess what? She'll make you feel like you're number one. And so the both of you make each other feel like number one. And that's exactly what marriage is all about. Marriage is a team effort. Both efforts put in the part, the both parties put in the effort. And then and only then will the marriage be successful. Wa jazakumullahu khairan. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.